Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the European Union's decision today to lend 90 billion euros to Ukraine so the Ukraine can sustain itself. They need so much money just to keep going, to pay salaries and so on. Obviously, their economy has cratered since the war began. Already before the war began, about 9% of their land was under illegal Russian military occupation. It's now about 19%. Millions of their people have fled. There's not much tourism. Various industries have gone very badly, and that's put almost everything there is into the war. Admittedly, they build up a very impressive military manufacturing sector. When the war ends, that can still go in full tempo and export to other free world nations that really want to build up their arsenals. Moreover, it's much cheaper to manufacture these things in Ukraine than almost anywhere else. So they really needed this money. Now, Putin, when he failed to win his blitzkrieg, he shifted to a long walk strategy, calculating that the free world would eventually get fed up of paying for Ukraine. Now, in this, he's met with some success because Hungary and Slovakia are very unhappy about it. Plus, when economic times are difficult, that's happened. The United States is fed up, is giving Ukraine far less money than under the Biden administration, so on. But it hasn't completely worked. And he thought that he could sow division in the European Union. And again, he's met with limited success. Orban Viktor, the prime minister of Mergerersak, has been to Moscow twice to meet him. Robert Fico, the prime minister of Slovakia, has made sympathetic noises. And there are other ultra-nationalist politicians and communists in various European countries, in Cyprus and Romania, all over, who are eating out of his hand. But so far, they haven't come into government in any other EU countries. Now, I'm a European citizen. I'm not happy about it. I would like the Republic of Ireland to leave the European Union, ideally rejoin the United Kingdom, even if not. But nevertheless, I am a European citizen, and the European Union isn't all bad, and sometimes it makes some good decisions. It's not evil. It's not oppressive, whereas Putin to Russia most certainly is. So this is it. This is en faute de mieux, because ideally, they were going to seize all those Russian assets, 210 billion euros worth, mostly held in Euroclear in Belgium, and that'd be collateral as a huge loan to the Ukrainians, and the Russians would get their money back only when they paid reparations in full to Ukraine. And the damage to Ukraine since this war began is estimated at over 300 billion euros. And Russia said, no, they'll never ever pay a penny. Putin repeating his flagrant lie again that it was Ukraine that started the war. So no lie, no matter how absolutely, utterly blatant, will be disbelieved by everyone. There are always a few useful idiots who fall for a falsehood, even when it's just, even if you can see past your nose, you can see it. There are enough people who are thick or just willfully blind. So Putin is obviously not happy about this, but it wasn't the worst outcome for him to pay a very, very heavy price. And the fact that Russia left all these assets in countries which are sympathetic to Ukraine proves how they thought they'd win this war very quickly. It's going to be a fait accompli, and there was no need to withdraw their assets. And there we go. So the Belgians are chary, saying this would be challenged in court. What if we lost? We'd have to pay out. And the European Union countries are not able to come up with a guarantee to say, we will pay it off for you. We'll all pay a share. You won't be left out of pocket. So that's unfortunate they weren't able to do that. Eurosceptic than I am, I can see for the European Union to work, and it does exist, and the Irish Republic, we're not leaving anytime soon. In some cases, we actually needed to reduce sovereign state, so-called sovereign state, member state autonomy, to have a greater unity to make quicker and firmer decisions, even if that reduces what states can do, the veto and so forth. So Putin said they're making Russia an enemy because obviously he's not happy about this loan. Without this loan, would they be able to sustain the war effort? And often it just comes down to financial assets, because can Russia sustain the war effort? It's becoming increasingly difficult for them because the taxes are going up. They're cutting spending. They can't hide this. They've even openly said they may have a banking crisis by the end of the year. It's always worked a bit worse than they say. They can't afford to pay those big bonuses people to join. So they do have serious problems. You know, inflation is significant. They can't borrow money abroad. They've gone through the National Wealth Fund, targeting their oil industries, making it difficult for them to refine, to export, hitting their tankers. It's very difficult to finance the war. I think they're going to keep going for at least a year, all through 2026. 2027, that really does become difficult. But admittedly, the sanctions have been less effective and less immediate in having a significant impact than everybody forecasts. So he's got dreadful generals. Putin does have excellent economists, bankers, and people who know how to evade sanctions, take a lot of advice from Iran, because Iran has been under sanctions on and off for about 40 years. And they found various workarounds, which obviously is not as good as not being under sanctions, but make this thing at least survivable. Okay, so trying to negotiate with the United States as though Ukraine doesn't exist, because it's a non-country in his view, it's really an extension of Russia, and occasionally blurts things out, says the quiet out part out loud, that he wants the whole of Ukraine, not just Donbass. And he's saying obviously Donbass now, because he thinks we'll take it in a chunk. He took a bit of Ukraine in 2014, some fighting right up to 2022, a bit more he sees in 2022, and would like the whole country, even if he'd have to stop this war, rebuild his arsenal and attack again in several years' time, because he sees this as his life's mission. Now, he's not saying a flat no to peace proposals in the United States for fear that Trump might become more supportive of Ukraine rather than less. So he's trying to wear them down by coming up with conditions. But we know he's a completely bad faith actor. We know he's a pathological liar. So when he suggested meeting Zelensky in Turkey, Zelensky went to Turkey, called Putin's bluff. Putin didn't show up. So you see that he's a liar. Wow. Anyway, so it's great that Ukraine is going to have sufficient money to keep on paying salaries, to pay for some essential infrastructure, their roads, their railways, everything like that. They're also repairing their energy infrastructure as Russia's targeting that again and hitting them a lot. So some of them without electricity, which often means without heating. So in the winter. Now, this is a major problem for Ukraine, but it won't break Ukraine. He's tried this before. It's just a waste of ammunition. You always got to war game it from his perspective. I wouldn't waste my munitions on that. I'll be targeting the military. And because Ukraine is increasingly connected to the European electric grid, that it has a limited effect. I mean, it is a serious, it is a headache for them, but they can't take out the whole country. They can't even take a quarter of the country. Yeah, in certain regions, they can take it out for several hours, but like never several days. Several hours might be enough to kill you if you're an infant or an elderly person. But anyway, so that's why not all countries are going to pay towards this loan. Okay, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia, almost everybody else is. Admittedly, they're not even that wealthy. But Hungary and Slovakia has been the only country still buying Russian oil and gas, but it's going to be completely phased out by 2027. So Putin has been very, very stupid because he's lost a major market. But to begin with this war, Russia provided about 45% of the liquid natural gas used in the European Union. It's now something like 5%. Is soon going to be 0%. When the war ends and sanctions are lifted, he might never get that market back. I think he's never going to get up to 45%, but he may not even get half that ever. So they found other providers, and they think that, you know, that Russia could use this energy blackmail. And that was part of the strategy when the war began. If the Europeans support Ukraine, he'll cut off their heating in winter. The Europeans need to buy this gas more than Russia needs to sell it. But, you know, that didn't work. And the other thing is, if you don't buy Russian gas, you can buy it elsewhere, but it'll cost you more because there's only so much in the market, you know, laws of supply and demand. So anyway, this will sustain them through at least a year. But some countries like Denmark, is a very wealthy one, have been very generous to Ukraine. So is Estonia, not so wealthy, but a former Soviet republic, Lithuania, Latvia, because they know they'd be next on Putin's hit list. They'd be the next victims, Sweden and Finland. You know, Spain's been the least generous, partly because it's so far away. United Kingdom is not in the European Union, but it's been fairly generous. Okay, it's given 0.7 of its GDP. The US given 0.6, even though it's so far away. All right, you know, some of the very wealthy countries like France and Austria have given very little, but Germany's given quite a bit, 1.1% of its GDP, but they're amongst the wealthiest. OK, so Putin has repeated his blatant lie that Ukraine started the war when, you know, Russia attacks Ukraine by land, sea and air, attempted to murder their president in 2004, attempted to hack their elections, spreading disinformation, cyber attacks, did everything they possibly could. And he claims is always victim blaming with him. And it's yet more proof. Never believe a single word he said. Never trust him. He says, I'll end the war. You know, I won't attack anymore. Never, ever trust him. You would have to be staggeringly stupid to trust a word he says. Trust is a totally redundant concept with someone's utterly dishonorable, utterly treacherous as him. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecarlin7@gmail.com, and do what you can to work for Ukrainian freedom.